Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome you to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. Today is Sunday, August 4th, 2013. Our show airs every first Sunday of the month from 5 to 7 p.m. Tonight, we have two very special guests for you. Our first guest is Mr. Willie Ramos. Mr. Ramos is an author. He has authored 7 books. I will read his bio and give you a little more information about him when we bring him up on the air. Our second guest is Dr. Umar Johnson. He is a child psychologist as well as an author, and he will join us the second half of the show. Tonight, our topic is on point and on purpose, knowing your destined path. So I'd like to welcome you on this journey with us as we explore and discuss how understanding one's purpose allows them to be fully aware of, manifest, and live into the gift they came to Earth with, and those that they must cultivate in order to fully thrive and fulfill their destiny. You can look at Yaya Feeney's website, but in one of her books entitled Household Guide for Yoruba Spiritual Wellness, you'll find some information. But before we go into that, I would like to welcome our host, Yaya Feeney. And she's going to do a meditation for us. Yaya Feeney?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very excited. Yes, I'm very excited about today's show. And thank you again, Ruby, for co-hosting this wonderful show. As usual, you're always doing, you're on point and on destiny. So thank you again.
Yes. Will you please do the meditation for us?
Okay, great. Okay, I want you to just center yourself. Know that you're in a safe place and that we're making a spirit-to-spirit connection with each and every one of us that are listening today and who will be listening in archives. Just close your eyes and just breathe. We're going to do a nice couple of minutes meditation. I want you to just close your eyes. And just breathe out all of the tension of the day, the rushing around, the getting ready for this wonderful show. And then I want you to breathe in nice and slowly. Breathe in. And then breathe out nice and slowly, nice and slow, letting out all of the frustrations and challenges of the day. Breathing in fresh energy and breathing out. Breathe in again, nice and slow. And breathe out. Breathe in. And breathe out, nice and slow. I want you to visualize yourself sitting on a mountaintop, feeling the cool breeze, feeling the energy of the sun, as you continue to breathe on your own. And you're allowing, you feel the breeze on your face, the wind, And I want you to visualize a white light above your head, maybe about 4 inches above your head. And this white energy is going to give you a sense of calm, peace, breathe in, nice and slow, and breathe out. Visualize this white light just permeating all of your being, just surrounding you like you're in a white flowing cocoon. And breathing out again. I want you to feel that peaceful, loving energy of the universe, of Obatala, just engulfing you with the serenity of knowing that everything is connected to where you are right now. When you're ready, and only when you're ready, you can open your eyes. See the surrounding landscape, beautiful sky. Ah, welcome back.
Thank you, Yayasini, for that moment of meditation. Meditation is good for cleansing, and it clears your mind, and I love it when you do the meditation. Okay, family. One of the things I was speaking on is Yayasini's book, Household Guide for Yoruba Spiritual Wellness. In this book, she emphasizes why it is important to understand the role of one's spiritual soul. When we become aware of the gift and specialness that we bring to our family and community, we become useful and dependable to each other. You can read that on page 13 of her book, Household Guide for Yoruba Spiritual Wellness. Okay, again, Yayasini, welcome. Welcome as the host of the Ask Yayasini Show.
Oh, thank you so much, Ruby. I am very excited today, as I said, because these two gentlemen are friends of mine outside of being just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, very powerful men that are committed to their destiny and their purpose. And that's why I wanted to have them on the show, because both of them come from unique backgrounds, historical backgrounds and traditions, but both have a passion and a drive and a sense of knowing. And I think they've always known that their journey on Earth was special. It was sent. They chose it, as well as just knowing that the responsibility that rested on their shoulders was not just about them, but to implant their passion. And so that's one of the two of the reasons why I wanted them on the show, because they really are aware of their destiny. They empower people on a daily and continuous basis, and you know that's one of my joy in life, is to be able to help and assist anyone that comes into my life in trying to find solutions to some of the challenges that they may find in their path. So I am very excited today about that, having these wonderful Dr. Uma and Miguel Willie Ramos, the Oriate, that is very very much committed to the practice in Lukumi tradition, a historian, a wonderful, wonderful teacher, and he will tell you more about where and how to get in contact with him. And so today we wanted to talk about Odu and what is Odu and the importance of Odu. And so those are the topics that both will be speaking on, because we will be calling it destiny, Odu, path, passion. It's all the same. All of it is basically the same. And so today, I wanted to just talk a little bit about what is Odu, because so many of the listeners perhaps may not be familiar with the term Odu. And so Odu, of course, to a practitioner, I am Yoruba / Lukumi practitioner. And as a practitioner, one of the things that I know for sure is that spirituality, ritual, service, all of it connects us to why we came on earth and the people that we know. So Odu has many forms, of course, and in Ifa, Yoruba, Lukumi tradition, Odu is known, and as a, like a play on words, Odu is the wife of Olumila, and is also is the binary mathematical divination, division of 2 to the 16th power. And so if you divide 62 to the 16th power, you have 256 verses of what comprises the practice of Odu or Ifa. And so in each one of these Odu, there are 16 essential life situations that are variable that provide us with resolutions of problems during our life on earth. And through divination, each one of the Odu reveal some situation that has, that was, that's been handed up, handed down to us on earth as a way of finding some kind of common ground and some kind of make sense of the things that we are faced with. And so the Odu or Ifa, Yoruba, Lukumi, and I'm saying all three because some people call Yoruba the faith, and it's not, it's just people. But I say it so that we can cover all of the grounds. Of course, Orisha, most of the Odus that come up, I mean, all of the Odus that come up in a divination are a vehicle for conducting you or sending you to one of the Orisha for rituals or ceremonies. And in this faith, Orisha is, of course, your ashe or your power or your balance, your source of power, your source of energy, and that each individual comes to earth. And so through divination, you find out what is the binary mathematical computation that existed in the past. And with a knowledgeable, experienced priest, you're able to make the connection that brings you the balance between heaven and earth. And so those are the things that we're going to be covering today, as well as we're going to be covering how is it that one awakens to their passion. How do you know that this is your destiny? Something that you've been doing. How is it that sometimes for the first time when you get a consultation or you get a reading, it confirms everything that you've been doing all of your life? How did you know that? How was that not by chance? How was that organized? So I'm very excited today that we'll be able to cover passion, commitment, legacy, and Odu. So thank you again for coming and being a part of this wonderful show. Thank you again, Ruby.
Yes, thank you, Yaya Feeney, the family. You can find out more about Yaya Feeney by going to www.yayafeeney.com, and you can also email her at yayafeeney@bellsouth.net. And family, she has a toll-free call-in number, which is 1-888-419-5848. So let's jump right into the show. I will ask Mr. Ramos, if you're on the line, if you could press 1 so I can bring your mic up, please. Family in the chat room, I would like to say welcome. And if you have any questions and you don't want to come on the air, you can type your questions into the chat room, and I will ask our host and our special guest. And I would like to say welcome, family, who are calling in and listening. It's great to have you, and if you're just listening, that's fine. But if you have a question or a comment or a statement, you have to press the number 1 on your phone, and that way I will know that you have a question or comment or statement, and I will definitely bring your mic up. As we're waiting for Mr. Ramos to call in, I will just read a little bit about him. Mr. Miguel Willie Ramos is a renowned published author of over 7 books and several articles. He is a Lukumi priest of Shango for over 40 years, and he is the founder of Elita.org. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. He also serves as an adjunct instructor at Florida International University. Willie Ramos is committed to the preservation of safeguarding of Lukumi tradition. And Yayafini, while we're waiting for Mr. Ramos to come on the line, I would like to ask you a couple of questions. Is that okay with you?
Yes, sure.
Okay. What is or has been your inspiration for your passion? Because I listen to you, and I know that you are very passionate about working with people and steering them, or maybe just giving them some insight to themselves. And you have done that for me through the readings that you have done. And I do know that you are very insightful. You knew things that I hadn't told you about, but they were in my reading. So can you tell the family, you know, what is your inspiration for your passion?
Okay. Well, for me, you know, my inspiration is, of course, to assist anyone that needs my help. I've always been like that. I am interested and stay connected to, and I wake up every morning happy and ready to help anyone that is, of course, needing some type of challenge or a struggle in their life. I love to mother people. That's one of my little divine, I think, purpose, is to mother and take care of everyone around me. My inspiration and my passion, of course, are my clients. As when a client or a student or a godchild or anyone who comes to me in either a workshop or a lecture or counseling and give me a testimonial or an update about how I was able to help and make a difference in their life, That just makes me smile and find new ways to continue to support them as well as to support others. So I just love when I'm able to, someone comes back and says, oh, you helped me to resolve such and such a thing. It just makes me feel, and that's what inspires me to continue mm-hmm. doing this work for over 42 years. That's what gives me my passion.
Okay, great. I actually think Mr. Willie Ramos is on the line. I see a hand up. I'm going to check to see if he's actually on the line. One moment. Family? Call
yes,
917-855.
Yes, hello.
Mr. Ramos, is this
yes, hello.
On the line?
I just wanted to know if you have Dr. Umar Johnson on today.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Is it at 5 or is it later?
He'll
be on before 6. He'll be on before 6.
Okay, thank you.
What, you need to mute their phone.
Yes,
he'll be on before 6.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
I muted their phone. She had a lot going on in the background, definitely. Well, and actually, Dr. Umar Johnson is on listening now.
I don't know. Yes, I don't know what happened, so.
Yes, Dr. Johnson is on listening to us now.
Okay, so. Maybe we could just move, and there's no other person raising their hand.
No, only the lady that just picked up. And I will say, Mr. Ramos, if you're on the line, if you could press the number one, please, so I can bring your mic up and you can speak on the air?
Okay, well, let's just go on with Dr. Umar.
Okay. Dr. Umar, I'm going to bring your mic up in just a moment. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson. He is a nationally certified school psychologist who practices privately throughout the Pennsylvania area and lectures throughout the country. Dr. Umar is a blood relative of Frederick Douglass, the great black abolitionist and orator. As a school psychologist, Dr. Umar evaluates children between the ages of 3 to 21 in an effort to determine if they have educational disabilities and a need for special education services. At this time, family, I'd like to say welcome, Dr. Johnson. Your mic is live. Welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show.
Oh, good afternoon, good sister. It's an honor to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, Dr. Umar, for joining us today. I am so excited to know, to share with us some of your passion, your genius, where and how you got started and why you're committed to this passion. So thank you again. Thank you again so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
No problem.
Dr. Umar, would you like to tell the family a little bit about you, give them some of your background and
sure,
any information
sure.
you would like to share? And also, will you first give your website or some place they can go to find out information as well?
Sure. I can be reached through my website, which is drumarjohnson.com, and that's D-R, no period, U-M-A-R, J-O-H-N-S-O-N, drumarjohnson.com. They can also follow me on Twitter, at Dr. Umar Johnson, and on Facebook, I actually use my Yoruba last name. So on Facebook is Dr. Umar Ifatunde, which is Ifatunde. And by email, drumarjohnson@yahoo.com. But they can also email me through the website, drumarjohnson.com. I am a certified school psychologist, which means I evaluate for special education, placement, and disability. I give mentally gifted assessments, placement testing, achievement testing, emotional, psychological, social assessments. I primarily work in schools evaluating children whose teachers and parents feel that they have learning disabilities, and it's my job to determine whether or not they have those learning disabilities. I've also been a child therapist for the past 15 years or so, and I have a doctorate degree in clinical psychology where I work with children who has such complaints or concerns as ADHD, depression, so forth and so on. My life's work is to try to build a residential academy for both our young men and a separate one for our young ladies. Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey Re-Africanization Academy will be the names of the academies. And I want to build those schools because I believe, based on my experience and my work, that special education, as well as ADHD, as well as the Ritalin and the other psychiatric medications, are being used to marginalize and oppress African children. And too many of our children are falling victim to the miseducation machine, as well as the psychiatric medication machine. And so I want to put them in schools where they can be safe from special ed and psychiatric exploitation, and to also teach them the skills and sciences necessary in order for African people to resurrect ourselves. And those skills include financial and economic science, which is not being taught to African children, agricultural and agronomical science, which is being taught in some places, but not well enough, and then the science of diet and nutrition, the science of politics and military, and the science of spiritual and astrological study, which Queen Mother Yaya Feeney specializes in. I think that's something that our children need to be taught as and alternative to the Judeo-Christian Islamic message that we've been inundated with since we've come to this country. And so that's my life's work, to fight to keep our kids from being mislabeled and put in special ed, and to fight to build a school so they can have a true African-centered educational experience that prepares them to be owners of their own businesses and corporations, as opposed to simply being prepared to go and work for white people.
Very good. Thank you so much. We can hear your passion.
Yes.
We can hear your passion. And that's what I love about Dr. Umar. The first time I met him, it was a passion that just filled the room. And it was like, oh, my gosh, this is power. Definitely. So perhaps you can ask him a couple of questions that may lead him to some of the things that we're looking for from his powerful message.
Yes, I can do that. Dr. Johnson, one of the questions I would like to ask is, who's your greatest teacher?
I would say that my greatest teachers, from a political standpoint, most of them would be, and like that, I learned more in terms of the political situation affecting African people. I learned more from Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey and Amos Wilson and John Henry Clark. I learned more from deceased ancestors than I did from anyone living. Now, in terms of my spiritual development, which is still a very, very, very new initiative of mine, I've had the honor of learning from Queen Mother Yaya Fini, and I've learned from Baba Aki Lan out of New Orleans, and I learned from Chief Olaitan down at the Oyotunji African Village. So when it comes to issues of the spirit, I'm just a baby in that study, and I've been learning from so many who have already been walking that walk for quite some time. But in terms of the political situation that we are in as African people, in terms of education, politics, military science, oppression, so forth and so on, I probably learned more from our deceased ancestors than anybody living.
That's powerful. And can you give us a little bit about your background and who you're descended from? That was one of the things that just fascinated me.
Oh, yes.
And your journey to Africa.
Indeed, indeed. I took my first trip to Africa in July of 2005. I was Minister of Education for Marcus Garvey's Universal Negro Improvement Association, which we know is the largest mass organization of black people in modern history. So I was Minister of Education for the Garvey Movement, and as Minister of Education, we had several African chapters of the UNIA who were concerned that they were being excluded from participation in the UNIA and being excluded in the whole process of nation building. And so I decided to spend my own dollar and go to Africa and meet with the Garveyites on the continent and also learn firsthand about what it is to be African on the continent. And so by going to Africa July of 2005 really served more as a political epiphany than it did as anything political. Now, I went for political reasons, obviously, to organize and mobilize our people. But what happened to me while I was in Africa, and I've shared this story with Queen Mother Yaya Fini, when we met, you know, it was more of a spiritual epiphany than anything else. I was there for 1 month. I was there from July 1st to August 2nd. I spent a week in Ethiopia, a week in South Africa, a week in Nigeria, and a week in Senegal. And my Senegalese visit would have been the last 7 days of July. And when I was in Senegal, one of the Garveyite brothers took me to Gori Island, the slave fort. And I went to Gori Island, and I'll never forget this for the rest of my life, because had it not been for this experience, I would have never even been interested in traditional African spiritual systems. And so anyhow, I went into one of the dungeons. I went into one of the dungeons there, the slave dungeons in Gori Island. And I got down on one knee, and I had a bottle of water, and I poured some water out, and I did a little prayer to the ancestors, and I forget everything that I said, but I remember the essence of what I said, and that was I basically asked them to give me the power that they have so that when I get back to America, I can finish my work and so that I can prove that they didn't die and sacrifice their lives in vain. I said, I want to make sure that my life and my work serves as a testimony to all of the struggles that you all have had to endure. So obviously I poured some water out, libation, and then I began to cry. And the tears really didn't feel like they were my tears. And so the tears started coming out. They started coming out heavier and heavier and heavier. It was weird because I don't know, but it was something about that prayer that kind of just touched something inside of me. The tears began to roll and they got heavier and it didn't even feel like they were my tears. And so I got up off my knee and I walked outside the dungeon room because I started to become overcome with that sadness. And it scared me a little bit because it seemed supernatural. So I went back in the dungeon room again, got back down on one knee, poured the water out again, began to pray again, and I began to cry again. And so then the brother who was with me, he told me it was time for us to get ready to leave. So we got back on the ferry boat from Goree Island back over to the Senegalese mainland. That night at the hotel changed my life. I'll never forget it. I went across the street from the hotel to call my mother to let her know I was okay. So then when I got back to the hotel, I sat down on the bed in my hotel room, and I was in my room alone. I had no one else in there with me. And when I sat down, the whole room kind of got dark, and something tapped on my third eye, exactly on my third eye, three times. And I'm not dreaming. I'm wide awake, sitting on the bed, one, two, three taps, like a finger. And then the room got dark, and then I started hearing all these noises. It was like slave chains. I heard screaming, whipping. I heard animal cries, horses, cows, just all these bizarre noises. It freaked me out, you know. And being a psychologist, you know, I'm like, wait a minute, this is what schizophrenics experience, you know. So I was having an experience that I knew wasn't schizophrenic, but related to some sort of out-of-body or mystical experience. So I tried to go to sleep, and every time I tried to close my eyes to go to sleep, whatever that force was tapped me on my third eye, and it would not let me sleep. It was like tap, tap, tap. I would roll over, tap, tap, tap. No matter where I rolled on the bed, whatever it was, it did not want me to sleep. So then finally, I kind of figured it was the ancestors. And I said, y'all scaring me a little bit. And I said, I want to go to sleep. So I need y'all to calm down a little bit. And so after I asked them to give me some peace, I was able to go to sleep. And I woke up the next morning, I just felt like I had suffered like post-traumatic spiritual experience or something. I wasn't the same for the rest of that trip. I got back to America, and I received confirmation that it was ancestors because I was in West Philadelphia, and there was a brother from Chicago who was selling some old slavery artifacts, and he had some slave chains. This is my first week out. And so I purchased the slave chains from him, and when I got back to my house, I went upstairs in my bedroom, and I said, okay, I'm going to put these chains under my television stand. That'll be like my altar. And when I put the chains down, I felt those same three taps on my forehead that I felt while I was in Africa. And that's when I knew that it was a spiritual something and not just a mental experience, because whatever that was came back with me over the waters. And, of course, brothers and sisters in Christianity and Islam, they basically concluded that whatever that was that happened in the hotel room in Goree Island that night after I visited the slave fort was a demon. It was evil. And I said, nah, it wasn't evil. And I knew it wasn't evil because when I got back to America, I started experiencing coincidences like crazy. Like I would think of somebody and they would appear. Friends I hadn't seen for years would appear right after I thought of their name. Or my phone would ring and I would know who it was. Or someone would say they was looking for something and I would have it in my hand at the time they were looking for it. You know, so I started having these very, very strong coincidental experiences that have continued to this very day, 8 years later. And when I got back to America, I said, I need to start studying African religion because there's nothing in the Bible or the Quran that can really help me explain what happened, nor could it help explain the epiphanies that I've been getting ever since then. And that's basically what started me on my journey to studying African religion.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that. I'm still feeling goosebumps when you're talking about it. That is the thing that we spoke about in my newsletter this past week on the 1st, that I stated that by paying attention to the signs that are there to assist us, we can ease the way and connect to and pursue your destiny. And in doing so, with passion and unwavering certainty, you will be firmly planted on your destined path. because you were studying, you were doing all of the material, the criteria that was necessary so that you can make a comparison. Okay, this is what I am experiencing, and this is like a psychotic issue. This is what I work with. But now here are the ancestors saying, I've given you the academia. You're a PhD in all of the things that are required for our children. I am now giving you the spiritual PhD so that you can help our children from a spiritual perspective as well. And you have the criteria, the academic criteria necessary to open the doors, but you're also able to see some of the trauma that we're suffering is, as you mentioned before, it's traumatic experiences that we had in the past, and we still have them with us. And so the destiny that you have in empowering youth is, of course, using the passion that you have, the revolutionary spirit that you have in making change and making sure that we recognize that it is an organized genocide that exists, that exists in our system. And you're using that as your platform, but you're using your knowledge and your connection to spirit to allow these young men and women that you have the blessing of having in your life to know that there is another way other than through medication. And that I'm not saying medication is wrong, but in many cases, what is required is a spiritual, spirit-to-spirit connection and awareness of the spirit that exists. So thank you so much for sharing that, Dr. Umar. Thank you so much.
No problem, no problem.
Powerful.
Yes. Well, Dr. Umar, do you know Chef Rob?
Yes. In fact, Chef Rob flew me out to Chicago about how long ago was that? Probably about 6 months ago, I flew out to speak at Chef Rob's restaurant.
Okay, he has a message for you in the chat room.
Sure, what does it say?
Are you ready for the message?
Yes.
He says you owe him $6.75 for breakfast.
Wait, so he said I owe $6.75 for breakfast?
Yes,
I got it. Tell him I got him next time I'm in Chicago. I'll be in Chicago for the African Arts Festival at Washington Park, August the 28th through the 30th. So I'll see you there, Chef, at the African Fest. Looking forward to it. It'll be my first time going to Chicago's African Festival.
Beautiful, okay, beautiful. Love it.
Also, there's another question in the chat room. It says they want to know whether or not you'll be discussing Odu. And it says, will this episode address how Odu may speak to the experiences of young people?
Yes, definitely. This show is going to cover Odu as well. And that's why we have Willie Ramos on the line holding now. We finally made connection. He was having some challenges signing in, and he will be covering Odu in extensive. But, of course, Dr. Umar, if you want to cover some of it, and then when Willie comes on, he will have extensive information on it, because in his daily life, Willie Ramos, that's what he does, is he works with Odu, straight from Odu.
Oh, wow. Well, I think we might want to go straight into Brother Willie then, Queen Mother.
Okay, well, let's... yes, so we will hold that question for... are we ready to go straight into him now, Ruby?
Sure, we can. I am prepared to. Are you ready for me to bring his mic up?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to welcome Mr. Willie Ramos.
Thank you.
Mr. Ramos, how are you? Welcome to the Ask Yaya Feeney Show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Before you start, can you give the family some information in reference to how to reach you, your email, your website, and things like that? And
sure,
then you can tell the family a little bit about your background and about you.
Excellent. My website I've been hosting since September 11th, actually. It's Eleda, spelled ELEDA.org. They can reach me there through there. There are links there to email me directly. at Ilario Bas, spelled Ilarioba, at eledad.org. They can also reach me through Facebook by friending us, eledad.org publications, or Miguel Ramos.
Okay, thank you. And can you tell a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am a fifth-generation priest of Xangô, ordained in the Cuban Lucumí tradition, the tradition brought to Cuba by a group from West Africa, commonly known today as Yoruba. At the time, they were not necessarily unified under that label. They were known in Cuba as Lucumí, Nagô in Brazil, so on and so forth. I've been a priest for over 41 years. On top of that, I am an Oba Oriate, which is a master of ceremonies for ordination rites into the Lucumí religion. As part of my function, I overheard your question a little while ago about Odu. As part of my function, I have to perform divination on the third day following the initiation, which serves to guide the devotee's life from that point on. So the system that I work with, the Logun, at that time provides the prescriptions and proscriptions for a person to lead a whole, complete life and reach his or her potential.
Give us a background on some of the books that you have, some of the books that you've written.
I recently published a book in Spanish called Orie le da mio, si mi cabeza no me vende. It translates to If My Head Does Not Sell Me. I've also published a historical and technical approach to Obi divination. It's called Obi Agbong, Lucumí Divination with Coconut, which can be found through Amazon.com. And one more book that's very popular is the book on Adimu, on cooking offerings for the Orishas, also available through Amazon.com.
Very good. Thank you so much.
And I am currently working on writing my dissertation for a PhD in history with Florida International University. I am a PhD candidate there and hope to be finished by the end of the forthcoming spring.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, congratulations. Okay, before we get into the question in the chat room, I have a question for both you, Mr. Ramos, and Yeye Feeney. I want to know, who is your greatest teacher? Mr. Ramos?
My greatest teacher was my religious community. I cannot rightly say that I had one teacher. I was part of a community. I had a teacher in my family, my parents, my grandparents. I had teachers in the religious community that surrounded me. And I had teachers in the general community in New York City, which were not necessarily part of my religious household, but were also very influential in my life. So for me to identify one individual would be unjust, because I would not recognize the value that my community itself had upon me, my religious community. And Lucumí religion relies heavily on this idea of community.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Asking me who are my greatest teachers. For me, like Willie is saying, like the Oba, because I just feel not comfortable calling him just Willie, even though that's what he was saying. But in speaking to the Oba, the Oriate, when he said that he had several teachers, mine has been so much the same kind of road that I traveled, who my greatest teachers were people in this faith. From I was involved in this from the beginning, since in the 60s. I've always had great teachers and people who inspired me to learn as my teachers. But I think that one that stands out that I want to mention today, of course, are my three children. Having my three children, you know, and raising them in this faith and initiating them, having them ordained as priests and having them have tribal marks, because I believe that this was what would guarantee the survival of our culture, our tradition, our religion. I also myself was initiated into a Lukumi and Yoruba system. And so my three children have been my greatest teachers, because I have learned through them tolerance, self-acceptance, forgiveness, and most of all, my children are testament to the fact that all three of them have their own unique path, passion, and destiny, and the road to God. You know, they have found their own way in making sense and finding peace in their life. You know, I'm so proud of my teachers, my children, in that raised and born into this faith, and choosing whatever path they have. Their path, use Yoruba as a background. They use Yoruba in daily practice, and some have not. In doing that, I accept and I recognize that everyone on earth is born with a specific Odu DNA, passion, destiny, and purpose. And so that's what I've learned from my children, in that sometimes we think that if you raise your children in one way, they have the responsibility and the right to be only the way that you raise them. My children have taught me that there are several ways and different ways of coming to know God. And we even have this in Ifa, that there are Odu that speak to the birth of other religions and other religious practices. And so this faith is not one that is dogmatic to say that you have to be a person who can reflect the power of God. You have to be in one faith. And that's the thing that I've learned from my greatest teachers, which are my children. They have chosen directions and paths that have really, really showed me that the world, everything and everyone that comes into your life comes in for a reason, a blessing, an opportunity for you to rise to your highest self. So those are my teachers that I wanted to talk about today.
Okay, thank you. So do you want to jump right in to Odu?
Well, I'd like to use JJ's segue to add a little piece to that. And I think it's very important that as a community, especially in this day and age where labels have become so important, I think it's important that we stress the fact that we are not an exclusivist community, right? We don't exclude. We do not believe nor profess this whole idea that we have the exclusive connection to the divine. We have a connection to the divine, one of many. And we also recognize the presence of the divine in every religious, every little piece, every little particle, every piece, everything that exists on the planet, and that includes religious traditions, which is the important and the significant thing about this tradition, and the reason why it was able to survive and go through all of the different ordeals that we continue to encounter in the diaspora. This was why we were able to get along not only with other African religious systems, but also European religious traditions, Chinese religious traditions. And you see all of these elements come to play together in a Lukumi / Yoruba Odisha shrine, because to us, God is everywhere. So it's perfectly okay. You have your version and we have ours, and we can coexist without coming into a theological conflict. And I think that's a very important element about Yoruba / Lukumi / Nagoa and any of the African religions that are practiced in the diaspora.
Yes, very, very powerful. Thank you.
And for us, Odu, divination, is probably an important, or the most important vehicle for tapping into that divine energy that exists in the cosmos known as Ashe. When we speak of Ashe, we speak of an ineffable essence that permeates everything that exists within our reach and with and beyond that as well, right? And Odu for us is able to tap into that source of energy, to that divine font, which is a creative and regenerative force. As a result, when we consult the oracles, we attempt to harness the energy of the universe to bring people back into balance with their life, with what their destiny should be, or if indeed it is destined that they have to go through a specific process that may be negative, may be karmatic in a way, so to make it a bit more tolerable for people to go beyond it and continue living. Life is about ups and downs, and Odu teaches us that as well in the process.
Yes, one of the things, thank you so much. One of the things that I found very, very refreshing when I first got involved in this faith back in 1969-70 was that when you, there's always an opportunity for us to amass success through Odu. It is always an opportunity for us to be in line with nature. There's always an opportunity that makes your life not something that is a judgment as to what you're doing wrong or how you do it, but there are stories that talked about the Orisha when they were on Earth. And so if they can make mistakes, then it's okay and it was appropriate and it was normal for us. Can you speak a little to that?
Well, we're human beings, and the Orishas, in my perception, are reflections of the Orishas. There are Odus that speak about errors in judgment committed by the Orishas. For example, Obatala. There is a story of Obatala that reflects on warnings that were given to him to stay away from a particular town. I'm going to shorten the story, obviously. Obatala refused to listen. He went ahead and eventually ended up in jail. Well, that story, of course, it's more expansive than that. That story actually reflects human nature in most regards, because we as human beings are stubborn. Odu uses the mistakes committed by the deities or different characters in mythological times to teach us lessons about how to behave, about what to do, and about what not to do. But ultimately, we are given the gift of choice. And as human beings, we make the choice to either behave or misbehave. If we misbehave, Odu teaches us what can happen, what the repercussions can be. And if we behave, Odu also tells us what the prizes will be for our behavior. For the most part, we are told how to live, but we are not forced to do that. We ultimately have the final choice. In our search for advancement, in our search for progress, in our search for well-being in our lives, we should aim for that sense of goodness, that presence of the divine that's within all of us. But sometimes we need to learn by mistakes as well, and which is also one of the beautiful aspects of Odu, because once the mistake has been committed, there are points in time where you can provide other ebos, other advice, further readings, try to replace the person to back on his or her path.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for sharing that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a caller on the line. Do you want to bring up? Do you want to take a call right now?
Is that for me or for you?
Yeah, Fanny.
Yes, definitely.
Do you want to take a call in? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Caller 862-215, you're on the air. Thank you for joining us on the Ask Yaya Fanny show. Do you have a comment or question?
Well, hi, how are you? I'm calling from Jersey. This is Myra. I often see you on Facebook with so many positive, enlightening statements and comments that I figured I'd come on today and just hear what the conversation is about. And I was enjoying the gentleman's statement about, you know, how the Orishas are and the way of life and how we as humans, you know, can be stubborn at times. And I totally agree, even though I don't completely understand the difference between Yoruba and, like, Santeria, for instance. I've always wanted some kind of understanding with both. I don't know if you guys can clarify with the little time that you have, but, you know, like I said, I did enjoy the conversation here, and you can go into this in so much depth. But I just want to say that I really enjoy everything, and it's very inspiring to hear you and to see your comments on Facebook as well.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you, my Facebook friend. Thank you so much. I am definitely going to leave that question to Willie. I just wanted to thank you for calling in. I don't know, there's some feedback.
I muted your mic. You can go on.
Yeah, for calling in and sharing your appreciation for the spirit in which I put things on Facebook. I really believe that life is, you know, we make it more complicated than it is. I just love to take life as a wonderful adventure, that if we have a sense of humor and that if we live from a place of gratitude, life can be very nice. And as long as there's loud music, I'm all for that because I can dance. In the midst of conflict and chaos, I blast my salsa or my R&B, and I can dance any problem away. And then I go get my reading, and I find the Odu, and I do my ceremony. So thank you for liking it. So Willie, would you address that, please, just briefly about what the young lady asked about?
Okay, we all practice Orisha religion. Whether you label it Yoruba, whether you label it Lukumi, whether you label it Nago, the pejorative word Santeria, which is a negative word as far as I'm concerned, regardless of what you label it, we all worship the Orishas through different systems. The Cuban system, the Lukumi tradition, evolved obviously on the island of Cuba, and it brought together different elements using Catholicism as a form of veil. I'm simplifying the process nonetheless, but Catholicism was used as a form of veil. And a well-known, probably one of the most celebrated Cuban historians and ethnographers, Fernando Ortiz, was the first to coin the term Santeria to refer to Lukumi religion, a term that was originally used to refer to the medieval practices in Spain, medieval Catholicism, as practiced in Spain in the 15th and 16th centuries. Unfortunately, that label has stuck, and it continues to come up, and it's has become a general label for all African religions, all Afro-Cuban religions lately, because the media has made it so. But it's not the preferred term. We prefer Lukumi religion. We prefer Regla de Ocha, Orisha worship. Santeria is a little bit offensive at times for those of us that understand its background.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I would like to know, Dr. Umar is still on the line?
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, definitely we have to include you in the conversation because I know Willie was on the line when you shared your experience in Africa. Would you speak to that, Willie, in terms of when he felt the spirit of the energy of the ancestor and just moved him into a complete different direction as to where, not different direction, but enhanced the direction in which he was going as a psychologist? And I addressed it a little, but I would like you to add a little more gravy to the sauce.
Okay. In fact, Willie, did you hear that story that I gave earlier about my visit to Africa?
Yes, I did, actually. I was really impressed by it as well.
How would you interpret that, me being in that fort with the crying and then me going back to the hotel room and going through that experience where I heard the crying and the screams and the animal noises and so forth and so on, and then coming back to America and all of a sudden being inundated with all these coincidences that really haven't ceased until then? Like, Some folks who I've spoken to, you know, they say, well, that was your ancestors coming. Some folks say, well, that may have been Olokun or Yemojad coming because you was at the birth of the water right there, being out on that island. And some say it was a combination of both. The tapping on the forehead, the three taps on the third eye, like in your opinion and what you've studied in your experience, what would you say that experience was about for me?
Well, Dr. Umar, it's very nice to meet you. I wish it was in person, but anyway, as it is right now, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I would respond to that a little differently. You just said the ancestors or the deities or whatever coming to you. I'd like to spin that around. I don't think they came to you. I don't think they ever left you. Right? I think that energy is part of every single one of us because our very strong belief in reincarnation tells us that we are just replacements for those that walked the earth before us. So if at some point this trip to Africa helped you to get in touch with that energy that was within you, I think that was the most important part of this experience for you because it once again helped you to discover something that was possibly lying dormant within you that you had never thought to consider or to give room to in your life. I think at that point, especially this whole idea of the tapping in your third eye, for us, that third eye, that particular position of the forehead, represents the future. It's an energy called Iwaju, which looks toward the future and toward those things that are coming our way, some of which can be very beneficial, while others can be negative. I think in your particular case, or based on the description that I heard, this energy, this entity that lives in that region of the body, was foretelling you of the changes that were coming to your life, the positivity of the positive elements that were coming into your life, and of the prosperity that you were about to encounter. And I think that was possibly what set you on this road and made you a whole, from what I'm understanding, an entirely different person.
True, very true.
Our ancestors never abandon us. We are our ancestors, just like the Supreme, the Divine, the Supreme Being never abandons us. For the Lukumi, for the Yoruba, for the Nago in Brazil, for the Haitians who practice Vodun, our ancestors and our deities, and above all, the Supreme Being is part of our nature. Because the Supreme Being shares with us two essential elements, two essential components in the human body. We cannot breathe if the Creator did not instill, and Yeye and I talk about this all the time, her breath upon us. I believe the Creator is feminine. But it is that presence of the Creator within our lungs that gives us life, that brings us into being. So we, at no moment in time, are we separate, are we distant from our divine entities and those ancestors who walked the earth before us. They are definitely a part of us and continue to be. Some of us recognize it, some of us achieve that understanding, others don't. And it has to do with what the Creator and what destiny has in store for us because we all have a destiny to fulfill.
Powerful.
Definitely. So that's why I was so excited about this show because I know everything that we're doing, and I strongly believe that everything and everyone that we meet has some type of role to play in our life. If it's us to inspire us, to direct us, and that's one of the things that I wanted on this show is that for us to recognize that we are all connected and we'll all meet each other in some way or fashion, be it indirectly or directly. Someone may be teaching you something that is an extension of someone else's vision, and that gives us that. So this is very, very powerful in knowing that we are all making the same connection and we are all speaking from the same paradigm. So thank you again, Willie, for adding light to that about the Iwaju. And give a little shout out to the Ipako also, Eshu Ipako.
Well, Eshu Ipako is an energy center or receptacle that resides in the back of the neck, open quote, close quote. And it represents our past. It represents our experiences, the good ones and the bad ones. It represents that the subconscious in many ways, right? It's that entity that guides us and tells us, hey, you've been here before. Don't make this mistake again. Stay away from these pitfalls. But again, as I stressed earlier, everything has to do with choice. And I think most religious systems focus on that idea that the divine always gives humanity a choice. And I think everything is about the choices that we make. When Eshuipakwo warns you and tells you, you've been here before, don't make the same mistake all over again. If you don't listen, you're going to end up repeating the errors of the past. And life can become a burdensome and repetitive cycle of unnecessary experiences sometimes. Because Eshuipakwo's role is precisely that. Avoiding unnecessary experiences, avoiding the bitterness, avoiding the pitfalls that life can sometimes represent. And I hate to sound like a pessimist, but it's part of the human experience. If we believe in this whole balance that exists in the universe, there is an Odu called Okana, Okana, that speaks to us about balance, right? Okana says that for every good action, there's always going to be a bad action. There always has to be a good and a bad accompanying it, because life is about that. Life is about positive and negative, about black and white, about male and female, about balance and harmony. This idea is very much akin to the Oriental idea of the yin and the yang, right? There is a balance that we need to seek, and when we find that balance, then we can say that we are truly living.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, very, very much. The thing that I love about Odu, and we've been discussing Odu, and all of the three of us on this panel, this discussion, have experienced Odu through divination. The power of Odu is that it gives you guidelines as to how to stay in a place where you could recognize your choice. Can you hear me?
Ashe, definitely so.
Yeah, because the benefit of ritual or ceremony is to align you so that in the moment, not in hindsight, you will make the choice that will align you to the balancing part and you can amass the success of your life. That's what I love about this thing, is that in it you have, when you are sitting in front of or being guided by an experienced priest, when the Odu comes, there are rituals and ceremonies that are going to impact your Ori Iwaju and your Eshu Ipako. What is going to affect you, what is coming ahead of you, and what you have left. And by doing the ceremonies, you don't have the thing of going through years of bumping through life with just misery. You have the opportunity of using herbs, chants, songs, colors, numbers, in balancing that chi, that energy force, that ashe point, so that in the moment you will make the choices that is for your highest and divine good. That's why I love this thing.
Ashe.
Okay. Thank you very much, Yaya Feeney. I don't see any messages on the line, on the chat room at this time, and I don't have any hands up. Yaya Feeney, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay. I was lost for a minute there. Block Talk did not want me on the air. So, but I'm back.
My goodness.
Okay.
Wow.
I have another question. Actually, it's for all three of you. Are you ready for another question?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you know for sure about yourself? Yeah, Finny, you can go first, please.
Okay, you want me to go first? Okay.
Yeah.
I think I just gave some of the things that I know for sure that that Odu spirituality and I'm going to regress on that. I'm going to say that knowing Odu and being able to be in the presence of an experienced priest can make the difference between night and day. That I know for sure. Because we have, just life, there are challenges that we're finding today that there are people who are, I don't want to speak in negative terms, that I think that perhaps could use more experience as priests in marking rituals and ceremony. And sometimes when you come into a disalignment with what it is that you're supposed to do, it could be just because the rituals that were prescribed were not perhaps, could have been enhanced with more experience by the practicing priest. I don't want to criticize priests here, and that's why I'm trying to be very, very clear, careful here. But what I know for sure is when you have the opportunity, the blessing of finding someone that understands Odu and the power that comes in the balancing between heaven and earth, and when you're sitting there asking for the clarity of knowing what direction to go, when you have the experience and the expertise of a priest that knows Odu, that could be the difference between night and day for you, and happiness and joy, or life and death. So that I know for sure. So that's one thing that I would like to say there.
Thank you very much. Dr. Umar?
I would say that what I know for sure. Well, over the past 8 years, for sure, ever since I had that experience at Gori, I have come to learn that I have ancestors, blood ancestors, Ogun, who I believe are strongly ordering my steps. And I would not be surprised to find out I wouldn't be surprised to find out that my life's mission is to finish what my great-great-great-great-granduncle Frederick Douglass started. I remember when Ye Ye Feeney did a reading for me, and she said that you have an ancestor with a deep voice who used to do the work that you do. I feel strongly that might be the Frederick Douglass energy walking with me, because I think it's more than a coincidence that here I am, 5 generations removed from him, but yet kind of doing the same type of work. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was my life's path, to kind of finish that push and that fight to help improve the status of African people globally. So the one thing I would say that I know about myself, again, is that my ancestors are really ordering my steps, literally.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Roman.
Powerful.
I would say that the one major thing that I have in my life, besides my son, who's the joy of my life, is my religious tradition, which has been part of my family for at least 5 generations now. And the mission that I have come to adopt, which is to make sure that my heritage survives and continues into the future, to ensure that the lives of those that come after our generation are also blessed by this heritage, this legacy that was handed down to us by our ancestors, brought on ships, naked and pestilent decks and wharves, and ask nothing in exchange other than to share their beliefs, their ideology, their love for the divine with us. So if I have anything that I think is of value, the greatest thing that I have of value for me right now in my own life is this faith, this religious tradition, this energy that I adore, that I worship, and that I will worship until the day I die, which I call Shango. And I always stress to my godchildren that if I die and am reborn again, I want to be ordained to Shango all over again.
Okay. Thank you very much. At this time, Mr. Ramos, will you give your information again? And please speak slowly. All of our shows are archived, and we have a lot of listeners who go back, who are unable to listen to it while we're physically on the air. So they go back and they listen to the archive. So if you could give your information again, please.
Sure. My name, once again, is Miguel Ramos, better known as Willie Ramos. My website is Eleda, spelled E as in Edward, L as in love, E as in Edward, D as in David, A as in apple, .org, Eleda.org. My email address is I as in India, L as in Larry, A as in apple, R as in Robert, I as in India, O as in Oscar, B as in boy, A as in apple, at gmail.com. I can also be reached on Facebook. You can friend me at eleda.org publications. And I can be reached through Yeye.
I don't know about all that. Most of the time, you're out of the country, so we're not even going to get into that.
And Dr. Kumar, if I could ask you to do the same, please.
Dr. Umar Johnson, yes, ma'am. My website is drumarjohnson.com, drumarjohnson, drumarjohnson.com. And for that matter, I wanted to let your listening audience know that they can purchase my new book from the website entitled Psycho Academic Holocaust, The Special Education and ADHD Wars Against Black Boys. It is my first book written, which was released on March the 6th, so we're coming up on about 5 months here. And it is the first book ever written that teaches African American and Hispanic parents how to protect their sons, as well as their daughters, but particularly their sons, from special education abuse and exploitation, as well as ADHD and psychiatric medication abuse and exploitation. In that book, there's a whole chapter on how to deal with disruptive behavior without medication. The children do not need medication to change their behavior. Their parents are sufficient to do that if they will only be consistent with their behavior management program. There's also another chapter on frequently asked questions, where I answer many questions that parents have about special education, ADHD, and subsequent strategies that they can use to help fight and protect their young people. All of the drugs that are being given to our young people are in the book, as well as the side effects, as well as the amount of money that these drug companies are making exploiting our young people in the name of mental health. All of the definitions of ADHD, mental retardation, learning disabled, is all there. And I'm just proud of the book because not only do we talk about the problems of special ed and mental health and ADHD, but we also give specific prescriptive steps that parents and others who work with Black and Latino boys can take to protect them from further exploitation by the miseducation machine. And again, Twitter, they can follow me at Dr. Umar Johnson on Twitter, and on Facebook, Dr. Umar Ifatunde. And also, if they want to email me directly, drumarjohnson@yahoo.com. I'm open for any parents with any issues involving their children that involve education or mental health. All they have to do is email me through the website or directly, drumarjohnson@yahoo.com. And for free, I will help them, you know, solve whatever issue they have, whether it's suspension, expulsion, learning disability, IEP, special ed, medication, you name it. They can call on me for free consultation and free help, just by sending me an email.
Oh, thank you very much.
Great.
Yaya Feeney, I'm going to bring you in just a moment. Again, family, I would like to say welcome to everyone in our chat room. We have a lot of people in the chat room. I want to say welcome. And if you have any questions and you don't want to call in, you can always type your questions into the chat room, and I will ask those questions. I would like to say welcome to our family of listeners who have called in and who are on the line. If you have questions, you're going to have to press the number 1, and that way I'll know that you want to speak on the air, and I will definitely bring your mic up. Also, if you want to learn more about Yaya Feeney, you can go to her website, www.yayafeeney.com. That's www.yeyefeeney.com. She also has a toll-free number. That number is 1-888-419-5848. And Yaya Feeney, I understand you have several classes that you have available, and you have one coming up on August 13th. Is that correct?
Yes, we have actually something coming up on the 11th. That is a meditation, an Obatala meditation that's coming up. And we also have a number of things that are coming up. But before I even give that, I wanted to share with Dr. Umar, and I will have to speak to him off the line on this one, because I would love for him to, if he's available, to join us at the first 2013 Palm Beach African Diaspora Forum. And it's on September the 28th at the Tucson Louverture Community Center in Social Justice in Delray Beach, from 6:30 to 8. And this is an interactive forum that it's going to address some of the issues that Dr. Umar is an expert in. And so we will talk about the possibility of you being at that forum. It's the organizer, Major Bernadelle, was on our show last month, speaking about the school that he has started in Delray Beach, where it's the only school in Palm Beach County that does not have a police guard. And he has 98% of graduation rate for all of his students. And his school primarily deals with helping and assisting African children from Haiti, from Central America, from South America, that come in and have cultural differences and language barriers to be able to pass the SAT and to graduate and to move on to college. It's a wonderful, wonderful school. He is doing amazing work. And I just wanted to piggyback on that on the forum that's going to be held in West Palm Beach, in the first one at the Tucson Louverture Community Center and School of Social Justice. And this school is for children between the ages of 15 and 21 years old. Wonderful, wonderful. Yes, I have a number of things coming up. We have the Obatala visualization meditation that we have once a month, and we have that coming up. But you can get a lot of this information on my website. And I'm excited about the Friends of Oshun meetup group that I started. And you don't have to be a practitioner to be a member of my Friends of Oshun. There seems to be an echo in this thing.
We have
Also, we have upcoming, I'm very excited that I'm going to host another show for children. And that's my new baby, and I'm so excited about that. And, you know, Ruby, we have talked about this. And we're going to have a children radio show where part of the show we will have children as guests on the show. And so I'm sure this is not the last time that we will hear Dr. Umar Johnson on our show. Hint, hint, hint. Also, we'll have on that show, we're going to be doing reading stories or telling stories from different cultures, nationalities around the world for children who are very keenly in tune with their spirituality and that are interested and finding challenges with knowing how special and how blessed they are. We also have upcoming events. We have we have a back to school special going on for children, back to school readings. You can look for that and all of my announcements on my website at yayafini.com, and you can also look forward to our annual SEW self-empowerment workshop retreat that we have in June and December for adults. That's upcoming as well. So just look on the website. We have, that's the major thing that's coming up now, is our meditation that's coming up on the 11th. But go to my website and you see all of the things that are upcoming for me.
Okay.
But I'm very, very excited about my new show, the new show involving children and knowing their specialness and addressing the fact that every child is born with a special gift. And our job as adults or the guides in their life is to acknowledge the gifts that they bring to us by choosing us to be their parents.
Okay, thank you very much. We have a caller on the line. I'm going to bring that caller up now. Caller,
hello,
anonymous,
how are you?
On the air. You're on the Ask Yaya Feeney Show. Welcome.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Very well.
Okay, great. Good evening, Alafia, to you both. I was in the chat room earlier in the conversation and was asking whether or not I had to leave the house, so I'm not sure if this question was asked or answered. And if it was, you can just let me know and then I'll go back and listen to the archives instead of you having to rehash it. But if there was a correlation between anything that you find that Odu says with what the ways that we should be teaching children or educating, anything like that.
Dr. Umar, if you can give light to that.
Yes, indeed, Queen Mother. Could you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, I was just wondering if there were any specific Odu that you could think of that that speaks specifically to this overall theme, right, of making sure that children are seen as the whole human when they're going in school and working through education.
Oh, wow. A specific one. Not off the top, but I will say this. One of the Odu that I've been studying a lot has been, I believe, Obara Meiji, that kind of deals with the need to keep the fear and loyalty and dedication to Olodumare central in everything that you do, that need to make sure that you stay focused on your obligation to the Most High. I mean, that's kind of a message that I personally, because I spend a lot of time in schools, obviously being a school psychologist, that's kind of the message that I always like to hammer home to our young people, because I find that a lot of our young people, the current generation, they don't really have many loyalties, and many of them are looking for something to be loyal to. So teaching them to be loyal to, you know, the supreme being, supreme consciousness, for a lot of them serves them well in a lot of different areas, because many of them suffer from loneliness. Well, building that relationship with Olodumare can help deal with that loneliness to an extent. Of course, there's no replacement for having meaningful relationships in their life, but yet and still having that connection to the Most High can help stamp out some of that loneliness. Also, in terms of character development, a lot of our young people are easily influenced by others to do things that are negative in order to fit in with the social group. Well, teaching them, you know, loyalty again, the Olodumare helps them stay conscious of their character and their obligation to do right under all circumstances. So for me, that whole loyalty to divine consciousness is something that has really helped me communicate to young people, especially as it relates to character development.
I think thank you for sharing that, and I think it's amazing that you're able to have those. I'm a school teacher. I think it's amazing that you're able to have those kinds of conversations in the context of school, because I know where I am, it's very, you know, don't talk about religion, don't talk about anything at all spiritual with children. You're there to teach, and that's it. I think it's such a fine line. I think it's amazing that you're able to do the work that you're doing with young people where you are.
Oh, thank you so much for that. And I would agree with you. I think that, and that's one of the reasons why spiritual and cosmological science will be something that's taught in my school. But I definitely agree that many of our children are suffering from spiritual famine. They're spiritually impoverished. You know, we talk so much about making sure they're well-educated in terms of math and science and so forth and so on. But what about spiritual education? Our children receive absolutely none of that, you know, except for what they do get by way of the mosque and the church and the synagogue. Outside of that, our children are very much spiritually impoverished. And I think that it has a lot to do with the general condition of young people, why ADHD is so prevalent, why the psychiatric meds are so prevalent, because they have totally obliterated spiritual development, and there's no serious curriculum focusing on spiritual development in the public and charter schools. And as a result of that, what do we find? All these psychological issues, most of which have a spiritual component, and if we focused on that spiritual component, you wouldn't need the ADHD, you wouldn't need the anger medicine, you wouldn't need the depression medicine, you wouldn't need the schizophrenia medicine. So by virtue of leaving the spiritual out, we've now given rise to a whole host of psychological illness for which they have no cures. They only have medication to deal with the symptoms, but they don't have any treatment to address the causes. And I believe for children, of melanated children of African descent, the central cause is that spiritual ignorance.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree with you. I used to teach a class called The Images of Women of Color in the Media, and in that class, I'm an initiate of Oshun, and I was initiated in Brazil, and spend a lot of time there every year. I went and brought back some stories about Oshun and some of the other female Orisha, translated them, and incorporated that into the class as mythology, and really began the class in that way, right? Because traditionally in school, we have no issues talking about Greek mythology or Roman mythology, but we don't at all talk about African mythology. And so we spent a lot of time doing that just to open the class to think about and to talk about the ways that how would your perception of yourself as a woman be different if you grew up knowing that there was these really powerful, extremely strong, loving, beautiful, motherly, nurturing images around you as a child, telling you, right, like being reflections of God within you, really, right? And the students, it was at the end of the year when students would graduate, they would say that that was often one of the most important things that they were able to take away from everything that they had gotten in high school, right? That there is a little bit of divine in them, that they're able to then change the way that they interact with other women, are able to change the way that they think about themselves because they recognize that they come from this very long line, right, of belief system and spirituality that's bigger than anything that we see here, right, with stories about Adam and Eve. So I completely agree with you. I say all of that to say that I completely agree with you.
Thank you so much. Let me jump in here and say that, you know, that was my purpose and then my intention of the Yayafini Children's Empowerment Story Hour that I'm starting in September, because it's designed to help parents and children to prepare for success in their school and their play, and help and to emphasize spiritual and healthy lifestyle. And I will have questions and answers and sessions for parents and children. And the stories will be multicultural storytelling. And this is my way of allowing the children. These stories will be read or told with the intention of fostering confidence, you know, and as you were talking about the different mythology. Because we have that's what the world is now, is a cross-section. It has always been a cross-section of multicultural stories. And so if we can bring in the stories of different cultures, people can identify as quote-unquote mythology more so than understanding the connection to spirit and the importance of teaching children that when their uniqueness is appreciated through their culture and the uniqueness that they bring through their cultural experience, that's what empowers them. One of the things that I faced when I came to this country was cultural identity. I lost my cultural identity in terms of being an African, being raised in Panama, where the dominant culture and the dominant color of power was white. And coming here and trying to identify with being an Afro-Latina, somehow I got lost in the mix of that and was could not understand. And so the value that I brought with me from Panama, I abandoned it, negated it, threw it away, did not connect with it in any form or fashion. And I was miserable as a teenager growing up because I wanted to be an American because it gave me some kind of power to being an African. But at being a Panamanian, I just disassociated with it. And that's one of the things that I want to do is to allow children to see that whatever culture you come from, you bring something powerful with you. And to know the value of it is to embrace the fact that you are unique. And each one of us is unique in our own right. And each one of us will bring a part of this quilt that we're going to wrap ourselves in as human beings. And to be able to be kind and loving to each other is to see that all of us have a rich legacy of all cultures, all races, and bring that together under this story hour. Of the Yafini Children Empowerment Story Hour starting in September. So thank you, sister, for coming into that. One of the things I wanted to say also is when I was working with Davidson College and the college prep program there, one of the things that was introduced, and perhaps the educators can introduce that in their practice without it being under religion or spirituality, is just teach children the value of breathing, of meditation. And when you come from it as a scientific method of lowering stress, a tool that is used to just get children connected to how special they are, in that moment you're teaching spirituality and connected to the divine self source, but you don't have to use the word religion in it. So I find that, and I used that, and I taught that for years at Davidson under the umbrella of the scientific method of bringing stress levels and connecting and disassociating to the chaos that's going on around them as meditation. But what I was really saying is prayer is asking God, meditation is listening to God. I just wanted to share that.
Okay. Any comments on that? Dr. Umar? Mr. Romo?
One thing I wanted to say on the caller's question about Urdu and Urdu addressing different situations whereby we can use them as teaching tools for our children is that Urdu is also independent, and each one of us has specifics that are associated with our own Urdus that we bring into life. So sometimes what resolves a problem for one individual may not necessarily provide the same solution for somebody. So in our application of Urdu, I sometimes, and I stress this, Yafini has heard me say this a couple of times, we tend to wear Western lenses no matter how African we want to be, and sometimes we need to remove the Western lenses and understand that it's not as cut and dry as, for example, taking a biblical passage and applying that to teach a specific lesson. Yes, there are Urdus that provide us lessons, that provide us guidance, but there's also the individual Urdu that the person has to live with. What that person brings in his package that he brings down from Odum when he descends to Earth that he has to live, and that also needs to be addressed. So if, and especially for those people who practice the religion. It is very important that we not only pay attention to the theology, but also to the individual needs, because, again, all our destinies are individually made for each one of us. And I think that should be emphasized as well in this whole debate.
Yes, definitely. And that's one of the things that on my website, as I was making the announcement, that I have a special going on children getting reading consultations to go back to school. When my children were young, that was one of the things that I found to be very, very effective, is to find out exactly what is the ODU that is going to govern their school year. What are the influences that they will face? And what are the challenges that they will face? And what are going to be some of the solutions that they will be able to have in solving some of the challenges that they have? It worked for me, and that's why I share it with everyone else. It's very important, just as Willie is saying, that each person, number one, has an ODU, but every situation, that's why we have 16 to the second power, why we have 256 ways of resolving one particular issue. There are 16 different ways of resolving one particular situation times that 16 times. So that's over 4,000 ways of finding an answer. And so, if, as we say, each child has an ODU or has a specific, and I opened the conversation when we first began this program, the importance of ODU and that each one of us has a DNA, a spiritual DNA. In the different parts of your life, in the different passages that you're going through in life, there are specific situations that are going to address not only your ODU, the child's ODU for practitioners, or the ODU that the child came on earth with. But there are going to be specific situations that that ODU will take them to experience. And so that the parents and caregivers will be able to have the tools necessary to help them to maneuver through their school years or their school experience in connection to their divine ODU. That's why you get a reading on each school year, to know what are the challenges that your children are going to have. Because you and your child could be very wise, very intelligent, but they meet up with a teacher who is an imbalance for them. And so rather than taking your child and moving them arbitrarily because 6 weeks into the class they don't get along with the teacher, you know ahead of time what are going to be the challenges, and you do rituals, you do ceremonies to align that child with the choices and with the situations that they're going to have to make and they're going to face. And that's the importance of ODU, and that's the importance of getting readings, and that's the importance of getting a divination in the major decisions that you have to make in school, and that you have to make in life, and not only for children, but as well as adults in each important aspect of your life, not to go through it just hoping haphazardly that it's going to happen and through prayer. No, ODU is the answer. If you can get and find out specifically what are the circumstances that you're going to face yourself with, you will know, at least you will have the tools that you can call on in your little calabash, in your little ba'iba, that you can pull out to help you to be successful in each part of this aspect of your life. So I wanted to say that.
Hmm. Wow. And you can find that information on Yeyefeni's website, family, www.yeyefeni.com, www.yeyefeni. And as I stated, family, you can also call her on her toll-free number, which is 1-888-419-5848. Or you can email her at yeyefeni@bellhouse.net. Thank you very much. Okay, I have another question for our guest and our host. Yaya Feeney, you already answered this question, so this question is for Mr. Ramos and Dr. Omar. The question is, what is or has been your inspiration for your passion?
My inspiration. I think I answered that already, right?
Yes, that's what I said. You already answered it for, the special guest.
Okay.
Well, if I can go ahead and tackle that, my major inspiration or my major satisfaction, I would say, is when I see that all of these people that I have touched or that I have guided or that I have attempted to assist throughout my 40 years of practicing as an Oba have all prospered and have all grown, and especially when I run into people that I directed their ceremonies 25 and 30 years ago, and they say, you know, everything you told me, you were right. I've lived through this, and I thank you. And it's rewarding because I wasn't right. The oracle is right. I didn't do it. The energy and the connection established between the individual and his or her deities did it. But it's satisfying nonetheless to see how wonderful and how beneficial my religious tradition can be for anyone that comes into contact with it. And I don't want to sound like I'm proselytizing. We are not proselytists. We don't go knocking on your door and telling you you're going to be damned to hell if you don't convert to our tradition. That's not our way. You have to seek us out. But nonetheless, I'm proud of my religious tradition. I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud of what my ancestors gave me, and I will continue to live with that pride until the day I die. Or I just change vehicles because, again, we don't die. We just go on and move on into another existence.
Yes, that's pretty much the same thing that I said. That was my passion towards. When people come back, that's what makes me feel good. It's when people come back and tell me, you know, you really helped me and you changed my life. I feel so honored and proud of that, the system that we practice. Thank you.
Dr. Omar?
Repeat the question for him.
Yes. What is or has been your inspiration for your passion? Oh, actually, no, Dr. Omar is gone off the air.
Okay.
I do have a hand raised. If this may be him calling back in, let me check.
Yes, that's me. Can you hear me, Queen?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Okay. All for me, I would say my passion is continuously fueled by the promised stories that I've seen in so many of our young people and their families when they've been able to take some of the information that I give them and actually go into the school or go into the psychologist's office and use it for the benefit of their child. So when you get a phone call or you get an email or you get a Facebook message from a parent, you know, saying, I read your book or I listened to what you told me in your email message to, you know, to do X, Y, and Z, and I went to school and I did X, Y, and Z, and I was able to get my child out of special ed, or I was able to resend my request for an evaluation. So just to feel the energy of empowerment that so many of our parents feel once they see that they can fight back, that's what really gives me the energy and the motive to keep on going forward, knowing that in some small way I am making a difference. I think more than anything else, that's what drives me.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we have about 10 minutes left, and I do have one last question, and hopefully we can get to it. What can we look forward to from you in the coming month? Yaya Feeney, you answered this, If you right. want to give a little more information, you can, or we can pass it on.
Yes, yes, just pass it on, because I gave my information.
Okay. Gentlemen?
I continue my mission to teach. Basically, what I have been doing for a number of years now is providing lectures for ordained priests and priestesses in the Lukumi tradition on ritual processes and divination. I think that's going to be my primary mission here forth. And right now, writing a dissertation, my goal is to finish. Once I cross that bridge, then we can talk about what the future entails.
For me, I'll probably be relocating from Philadelphia either to Chicago or Detroit to complete my postdoctoral internship so I can get my license as a psychologist. So I'm looking to do that in either Chicago or Detroit. It appears that Chicago is going to be the likely place right now, although it's not definite. And I'm going to begin the fundraising campaign to raise the necessary monies for the construction of the Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey Re-Africanization Academy for Young Boys. So the relocation as well as the school, those are going to be my next two major projects. And then also we're trying to do a conference, a Pan-African Economic Development Conference, somewhere in Africa, probably Ghana or Nigeria or Liberia in the summer of 2014. And working on a new book, which is going to be called Rules of Engagement, a Relationship and Dating Laws for Black Women. So those are probably the four things to me right now. And I'll be going to Oyotunji, as a matter of fact, Queen Mother Yeye Fini, to receive the Hand of Ifa, which I'll probably be doing next week. So looking forward to that.
Oh, good for you. Congratulations. Nice. Well, I have my little list. Of course, I said that I have my the upcoming children's program, and we have the back-to-school special. I have my upcoming trip to Brazil on a spiritual pilgrimage, which is the end of January and the beginning of February, and along with some very powerful priests. We also have at my center in West Palm Beach, we have our ongoing meditation and mediumship training classes. We also have Aborisha classes, our Lukumi practitioners workshops. We have our ongoing SEW retreats in June and December of every year. We also have our children's spiritual rite of passage in June 2014. I have my two upcoming books. One is a children's book, and one I've been working on my, I don't want to call it my autobiography, but my story. And, of course, my expansion of the IIASK, my International Institute of African Studies, and reaching a broader audience with the services that we offer through our ongoing classes. And if you go to my website, you can hit the tab that says IIASK, and you see the ongoing classes that we offer, and we'll be offering more classes. Also, I'm celebrating my 43rd year as a ordained priestess in August, and I'm looking forward to that. And on the 11th, on the 9th, we're having the final ceremony for our dearly beloved Omitinubu, priestess of Yemanja, who passed in December. So we have a full agenda, but if you want to be a part of it, part of the institute, part of the things that I'm doing, just go to my website, yeyefine.com, and become a recipient of my newsletter once a month. I don't flood your emails with a lot of stuff. Once a month I put out a newsletter that gives you updates on everything that I'm involved with, that I'm doing. I give ceremonies, rituals, suggestions, advice, and that you can kind of find some joy and happiness in your life. You can also find me on Facebook, on Yeye Fini on Facebook. Twitter, I do sometimes, but definitely go to my website, and that's where you can find me, or LinkedIn. I'm also on LinkedIn, so just go to my website, find it, and I am just so happy to be a part of this new internet way of connecting, because now we have the beauty of having Willie Ramos, who does not do shows, Willie Ramos actually doing the show, and Dr. Umar, who dropped his very important schedules, I know, to be a part of this. And I'm so humbled and grateful that Spirit brought us all together, because all three of us are at the cut of the same throat. We all like to laugh. We don't take ourselves so seriously that we can't enjoy the moment. And we're passionate about Spirit, about our contributions to the world, and serious and committed to the responsibilities that we have to pass on rich traditions, rich beliefs, and tools that are going to change and empower the youth that are coming up and the adults who are seeking our help. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Ashe.
Okay. Ashe. Thank you. From your book, and speaking of togetherness and bringing everybody together, from your book, Meaningful Mondays, do you have something in there about togetherness that we could close the show with?
Well, I don't know what page it's on, but in throughout my book, and for anyone that knows me, there is a recurring theme that I believe that everything in our life is a blessing and a lesson. That the divine, the spirit, the universe, the ancestors, the God that lives within us, the manifestation, the expression of each Orisha, Oludumare, whatever it is that you need to call the source that makes sure that you're breathing when you're sleeping, always brings us, pulls us, and we pull towards the things that are going to help us. So everything is a lesson and everything is a blessing. There is, as Willie said, there's a negative and a positive polarity for everything. Some of the most painful experiences that we have sometimes are our best lessons. Some of the things that we are involved in that give us the highest blessing, we know that they come to us because of some type of painful experience. So we can appreciate it. But everything in life is a lesson and a blessing. That's the theme throughout the Meaningful Monday. Throughout the Meaningful Monday is everything in our life is a lesson and a blessing. It's an opportunity for us to align ourselves with the fact that we can make a difference. We are the difference that we've been waiting for. And be the change that you want to be by acknowledging that you have a divine Odu. You have a divine DNA that God in her specialness created each one of us with a fingerprint that no one else on the face of this earth has. That's how unique we are. The Odu that we have, we may have the same exact Odu in terms of the name of the Odu, but the aspect of it is completely different. So when we recognize and acknowledge that the Creator brought us and made us, she was such a genius that she created a place on earth where we can learn to share experiences, gain knowledge, and elevate as spirit, and reincarnate and come back and contribute, and reincarnate and learn that we will take our life with a rich reverence and embrace every day with joy, with laughter, and with forgiveness, and knowing that things is not that bad. It's not that deep. When you sit and you acknowledge and you take responsibility for the part that you played in some chaos or confusion that happened, when you take your responsibility for whatever is going on, you acknowledge that, okay, I can change this. I have the right, I have the birthright, I have the Odu, I have the experience, I have the love of the universe to make a choice that's going to make it okay.
Great. Great information. I have one quick question, and then we'll be off the air in a few seconds. The caller says, I can't find the information about the Oshun meetup group on the website. Which state is it located in?
Yes, I just was just speaking to my IT person, and she says it's there. I don't see it as well. Just go to, just email me, but you can go to, what is it? What's the group that you call it? Meetup. Go to Meetup and just look for Yeye Fini, and the name of the Meetup is Friends of Oshun. Friends of Oshun is where you can find the Oshun group. Hello?
Okay. Yes, I'm here. Yes.
And anyone that needs information, they can just email me, ask specifically for information, yeyefini@bellsouth.net. Because my IT person says there, and I don't see it myself. So just go straight to yeyefini@bellsouth.net and send me an email, and I will be glad to share that with you. Or follow me on Facebook if you're on Facebook as well. Thank you so much, and I'm so sorry that somehow it's not there.
Okay, and I would like to say thank you, family. Thank you. We appreciate your time. We know you could be doing anything this evening, but you chose to join us. We appreciate you, we love you, and have a very blessed week. Yeye
thank
Fini,
you very much.
Thank you for hosting the show. And Dr. Umar and Mr. Ron Ramos, thank you both. It
thank
was
you.
A pleasure.
Thank you. It was
thank
a pleasure
you.
To be with you.
Same here. It was an honor. Take care.
Have a
thank
great
you.
Night.
Bye. You too.
Bye.
Hey,
you miss me? Good.
You are filming. Oh, please. My phone was gone 5 minutes after you gave it to me. Please. I love your cooking, bitch. I know sometimes you can't tell because I don't eat a lot, but. Look at you. You just did everything without me. You did everything without me. I'm feeling a certain kind of way about that. The dishes. Huh? You know, I was thinking that. I was just thinking that. These aren't clean, right? Okay, okay. I just wanted to make sure I could put these in here.
Where kids are afraid to walk school because the gangs are out for walking to the school. I bet it's Canada, New Jersey, and it's the same with the town.
Really? Wow.
Take 47. There were literally out on the street with AK-47 that find their report.
Wow. Vicky.